Log Talk Radio.
Bread of life sent down the glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king of carpenter. But you are the living word, babe. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were. Welcome to Jesus, the Only Way radio blog. My name is Faith Dean, and I am your host. To others out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Today, we are having Deacon Chapman, and he will be speaking on David and Jonathan's friendship from scriptures, 1 Samuel 18 and John 15:14. But before we get started, Sister Beverly, would you like to open us up in prayer? Okay, let's see. Sister Beverly, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes, all right. Sorry about that. Dear Heavenly Father,
okay.
God, we do come to you. Yes. Can you hear?
Yes.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we do come before your precious throne of grace, and we do thank you for another blessed opportunity together in this setting, Father God, for the hearing of the word that you would be speaking through the man of God that will be speaking forth today. And so we just pray that you would just use him in a mighty way to just tell us things from your Bible that you want us to hear, Father God, and to understand, Father God, and help us to just continue to grow and to learn from the things that we will hear here today, Father God. So just use him, Father God, as your chosen vessel to speak that which you have purposed in his heart to speak. We pray for everyone that will ever hear this recording that they might be touched and they might be blessed and that they might learn the things that you want them to learn as we hear what is being presented here this day, and we pray these things in the mighty and awesome name of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Sister Beverly. Deacon Chapman, you can go ahead and start.
First of all, good afternoon. And I have to say my own prayer here. Oh, God, as we go through life so lonely, needing what other people can give us, yet sometimes we show a shame of the things we need. But through faith in you, Father, and your Son, Jesus, we can go through this life not being lonely, not being hungry, but rejoicing, being able to not only to forgive, but to give. And dear God, bring us together, the people who need each other, who can help each other, and would so enjoy each other. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Today, I'd like to talk about finding a true friendship and a new beginning. And the base scriptures for the friendship is 18 chapter, verse 1 through 4. And briefly, I'll just read that right quick.
Well, to give you a little background, this is after David had slew Goliath,
And he brought the head of Goliath back to Jerusalem, and he presented it to And chapter 18:1 said, "It came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped him of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, his garment, and even his sword, and his bow, and his girdle." When we look at the explanation of those four verses, David and Jonathan had a bond and a covenant to care for the needs of each other. They had an interest in each other, and it was almost like a treaty of being equal. And yet the two men were not equal, such as a relationship had to, you know, be intimate by Jonathan, because he was a member of the royal household of Saul, as David was of a sheepherder's family. But the words that we have read, that was written there, repeat and give you emphasis, describing the unselfish nature of Jonathan's love for David. Now, a definition of friendship is a close, trusting relationship between two people. And even before we get into the closeness of the friendship, we talk about some loneliness. When Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said that it is not good that man should be alone, I will make him a helpmeet for him. In other words, something fit for him. And then also another reference scripture that you could read in your study is 1 Samuel 19:1-7. Now, friends can be among the most important blessings in your life if you struggle to find some. Sometimes advice is given to us to look how to nourish our relationships and how to show our friends you cherish them. In this day and age, friendship is in danger of becoming a lost art. All through history, friends were placed on a par with marriage and family in the well-bred personal constellation of meaningful relationships. And one of the relationships that briefly in the book of James 2:3, it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed," in other words, counted unto him for righteousness, "and he was called the friend of God." And I'll make emphasis, "and he was called the friend of God." And when we fail to forget as we rush from here and there, is that friendship can fulfill needs, not only in our personal lives, but in our families that cannot fulfill those. So sometimes a friend can be a confidant. And I know you've heard the saying that my friend is a friend of my enemy. And actually, going back to Saul, 1 Samuel, King Saul became an enemy of David, but Saul thought David was his enemy. But the thing about it that we have to look at is that sometimes it comes painfully clear when a breakdown occurs on either of the two fronts, like getting fired, a divorce, a breakdown in a marriage. Sometimes we isolate ourselves, and at that time we intend to forget that friendship is a holy thing. God uses our friends as a channel of the Holy Spirit. And we know in the 15th chapter of Matthew, Jesus talked about certain things. But then the reference is John 15:14, when he said, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command of you." That's a new beginning. But friendship is one of the most important, overlooked means of grace in our lives, and one of the most overlooked sources of support for spiritual growth. And this is something that we all need is spiritual growth. In John 14 and 26, Jesus said these words, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto thee. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I unto you. Not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And a lot of times we overlook the sources that spiritual friends can bring us through some hard times, because a true friend will love and support you through hard times. And that's what I read, John 14 and 26. Jesus is always your friend. He's always going to be there for you. And there's nothing on this earth that can be more prized than true friendship. Even Jesus in his ascended state, he still is our friend. He's our big brother. He's our savior, our healer, our provider, our counselor, our prince of peace. And also he's our deliverer, because friends will help us through times when it seems like the world has shut her down or families have shut her down. So sometimes we got to plug into that source of a true friend. And the art of being a friend is defining the rules of success in the friendship. And the love you make, you take, is equal to the love you make. So in other words, you can't receive what you don't give, and you can't give what you don't have. So we have to learn through studying the friendships in the Bible. Okay, let's go back for a minute. Let's go back to Moses. We know in Egypt, when Moses killed one of the Egyptians for misusing an Israelite, one of his brothers, he buried him in the sand. But he went back later, and one of his fellow Israelites confronted him about, was he going to kill them just like he'd killed the Egyptian? So this word got back to what it was, that Moses fled, and he fled to the desert. Can you imagine the fear that Moses probably had traveling in that desert alone until he came up on the watering well that Jethro's daughters was in? He fought off some of the herdsmen there that was came to water their crop, I mean their herd. And also Jethro, prince of Midian, which was named Reuel, comforted him, broke bread with him. They became friends. Okay, let's think about Joseph. Let's go back a little further about Joseph. When Joseph's brothers threw him in the pit, don't you think he felt lonely? Don't you think he felt rejected? But we know the story of Joseph in Egypt prepared a way for his family to come into and prosper during the famine. So what I'm getting to say is that true friendship that have a bond will meet the needs. And not all the time that you have to give a friend advice. Sometimes you just have to pray for a friend. And so, and also we have to learn that the value of friendship. Because if you're a friend of a friend, one of the things that you have to do is practice patience. And friendship inevitably evolves and it changes. The roles shift. Sometimes the needs fluctuate from 1 month to the next month. Okay, for instance, maybe you and a friend have attended the same church, say forever, but now the pastor is leaving to start a new congregation across town. You're going to change churches with the pastor, but your friends say, "I want to stay here. This is where I was raised. This is where I attend. This is where I fellowship." So does the couple really fall out, or do they support each other in love and grace? And their friendships have been broken because of one person moving from one congregation to another congregation. And even sometime when a couple divorces, it causes a problem between friends because as one of the divorced individuals would probably hook up with and date someone else that this person doesn't like, it causes a conflict. But friendship really can resemble a marriage as Christ and the church, the body of Christ, which he is the groom and they're the bride. And it has an intimacy that make both partners sometimes to disagree and be misunderstood and hurt feelings, as we have a lot of that in the body today. We have split feelings. We have controversy. We persecute one another. And those signify that we are not to understand how we're supposed to be living. And as friends, we need to take similar vows, even if we do so only silently. In any friendship, there's going to be ups and downs, because in our individual lives, there's going to be ups and downs. David had a lot of ups and downs. Samson had ups and downs. Moses had ups and downs. And we can go all through the Bible and see that there are individuals that had ups and downs. Even sometimes Jesus had some ups and some downs, but he was perfect now because he had not sinned. But he had a lot of controversies from the Pharisees and from a lot of unbelieving. Even one of the 12 that he chose, Judas, Issachar, betrayed him. But the thing about it is that we have to value friendship. In the Epistle of John, the third epistle, verse 14 states, "But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee, our friend. Salute thee, greet friends by name." The face-to-face means, interpreted from the Greek, voice to voice. And I'll give you a little short scenario. I was talking to my daughter a few days ago, and we were talking about hearing one another's voice instead of all this texting sometimes. And I think there's a comfort in friends speaking verbally to one another. And a lot of times we want to text, but sometimes I think you can lose the value of friendships in texting, because like I said earlier, all friendships are not created equally. Some friends are great talkers. They like to talk about their kids, their family, the job, the experiences that they had during the day. But spiritual friends, if you have one, you know they can be the most fulfilling friendship of all. Sometimes spiritual friends come about effortless things, and sometimes they come to you about something they've learned in Bible study. Other times they may come to you about a need and a concern that they have in their daily lives. So sometimes, as I said earlier, instead of giving a lot of advice, we go into prayer. We pray because prayer is essential into the formulation of friendship. Friendship is like a step to raise us to the love and knowledge of God. And we have to go on the premise that we have to learn the will of God, have the knowledge of God. And also, just for a few minutes, on John 15 and 14. It said this in verse 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. You are my friend if ye do whatsoever I commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servant,
For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doth. But I have called you friend. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature. And in Christ, with God, through Jesus, God was telling them that God is our friend. Jesus is our big brother. And you know, remember back in the day, there was a song said, if I could only live my life again, which of us would not want to just do that? The thing about it is the good news of the gospel is that you can. The dominant theme of the New Testament is that no one, no matter who you are or what you have done, past mistakes can be forgiven. And actually, if you have harmed a friend, hurt a friend through gossip or through personal verbal accusation, you have to set that record clean. Because we will ask the power of God to forgive someone, but sometimes we fail to forgive ourselves. And friendship is very, 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 very needed. But a lot of times we'll penalize friends for their thoughts. Sometimes a true friend will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And when you become a new person, saved from the enslavement of sin, you no longer feel like an unworthy stranger. See, a lot of us don't realize we have liberty and freedom at the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But we keep ourselves captive by our thoughts, our emotions, and how we treat and persecute one another. And in this new life, you're not alone. You have repentance. You have the baptizing of the Holy Spirit. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is always present to support and comfort you, to strengthen you. It is the Holy Spirit of promise and a guarantee of inheritance as children of God. You can find that in Ephesians 1:13-14. And from our first hesitation as a child of God, born from above, to your dying breath, you become his personal concern. So if you are his personal concern and you have a friend, that friend should be part of your personal concern. Because good friendships are fragile sometimes, and they require as much care as breaking a cup. So we'll take a cup, break it, and try to get some crazy glue and try to put it together. Now, we'll put the cup together. It may hold some liquid and stuff, but that cup is not like it originally was before it was broken. So sometimes friendships be mended, but they might not come back to the fullness that they were from the beginning before they were broken. But David and Jonathan had a bond. If you study that in depth, you will see how true friendships operate from soul to soul. In other words, friend to friend. And he came to his aid. He stripped himself of all his royalty garment and gave it to David. As Jesus said, sometime we got to give our coats away. But I hope that this little message on friendship and broken friendship and men and friendship may help somebody, that God has given us the gift of forgiveness. All right, Sister Faith, it's back to you.
Amen. Amen, Deacon Chapman. That was a wonderful word that you spoke on. David and Jonathan's friendship. Does anyone have anything they would like to share, comments or questions that they would like to share? Sister Beverly? Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay, well, I'm going to have a comment here. I've had friends that I've had for a very long time, but I guess for me, spirit to spirit, sometimes if your spirit is not right, I won't say anything, but I usually go to God first, and usually God always fixes it before I can talk to a friend. But I do have a friend that I speak to through spirit. We pray a lot. I could tell her anything. She receives it. We've had our ups and downs. We've had, you know, little fights here and there. But for some reason, we still connect. We still stay together. We still lift up God. And I don't think we will always be friends to the end. And that's important to me. But the more thing I wanted to be is to give me a, what do you call it? Check my heart so that to make sure that I can be that friend to others, lift them up. You know, sometimes I lift them up without saying anything because I really want to get that direct connection to God. And once I've done that, then I gave it to God, and God's going to handle it from there. And so that's where I just go ahead and lift up God for what he's about to do. And so I stay quiet. But your word of what you were saying is very helpful in learning what a good friend is, looking for that kind of friend, being that friend, not only in church, but on the outside as well. Support your church, whether you see them or not. You know, my pastor, we have a thing on our message board. If we got things going on in our family, he has us to lift up the church. Or if someone is not feeling well, he'll say, well, can you guys pray? And we all do this together, lifting up the church, and whether we at church or not at church. And so he does that a lot to make sure that we stay together as friends, to lift each other up, to be there in the good and the bad times, and even in the ups and downs. And I thank you, Deacon Chapman, for what you spoke on. That was very informative, and I would definitely be reading up on David and Jonathan's friendship and scriptures. 1 Samuel 18 and John 15 and 14.
And also, you can read 1 Samuel 19 chapter, and then read the Philippians, 1 chapter of Philippians, you know, about Paul that he developed between Philippians himself, even though he was in prison. But the thing about it is that a lot of time we as friends, we do get wounded. Because, like, you know, by words or by actions, because I've known of incidents myself, friends have turned on me or said things out of context. And sometimes, but these same friends that have told me things, I've kept those things in confidence, you know, because I would not want to be the one that they point the finger where Chapman told me.
Exactly.
And the thing about it is that just like you can see one person of a couple doing something out of context of the marriage, and you go confer that. But you keep that to yourself because you don't want to be the one, the finger be pointed at. If you hadn't said what you observed, they probably would still be together. Let somebody else tell it. You know.
Amen.
And the thing about it, we have to pray constantly for one another, and lift one another up in prayer. You know, and a lot of times people with conversations, they'll be talking, but they don't realize they have divulged something that should have been kept still. Just like I said earlier, sometimes you find out your friend is a friend of your enemy.
Right. Amen.
You know, and if you read John 17, the Jesus prayer, how he prayed, from verse 20 down to 26, was conferring to the body, the coming church that he built.
And the thing about it, when he said, I in them and thou in me, that he had already given a prayer for his disciples from verse 6 all the way down to verse 20. But now he has a prayer that he's implemented that they be that we made perfect in one. So the perfect in one is Christ's prayer. We're not perfect, but being perfect in one, maturing in him. And if we don't have a mature friendship with one another, how are you going to say you have developed a mature friendship with God through the, through his son?
Amen.
Does anyone else have any more questions and comments?
No, I don't have any.
Okay.
But thank you, Deacon Chapman. That was an excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah, it gives you a lot to think about.
Because when he said, abide in my love, even as our Father's commandment, and abide in his love, God and the Father, God the Father and Jesus' Son had a binding love between them. So if we can learn, regardless of what a person, okay, you know James, in the book of James, it talks about the rich man that came in all the fine clothes, big ring. They give him a lot of attention, but then the poor guy came in, they wanted him to settle by the wall.
Right.
And I give you a little short story. A homeless man came into congregation. He walked up the middle aisle, and he sat right in front of the members' table. And he wasn't smelling that good, didn't look that good, unshaven, probably hungry, barefooted. And people made comments, so he smelled, what is he doing? Why is he in here? Why is he disturbed? So a gentleman got up out the pew, took his coat off, took his shoes off, and sat by him, held his hand, and prayed with him. The homeless guy got up testimony that shook up the whole congregation. So we can't judge a person by how they look.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we've gotten to the end. Sister Andrea, would you like to close us in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we come to you this afternoon thanking you first and foremost, Father God, for using Deacon Chapman to bring us the message of friendship. Father God, we ask you now to bless each and every individual that is within earshot of this word today. Also, that will be listening to this broadcast at a later time, that it may touch someone else's heart. Father God, we thank you, we love you, and we adore you. In Jesus' name I pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. Thank you, Sister Andrea. And thank you for all who joined in today.
Well, I have to thank
next. Go ahead.
No, I said I have to thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak on that subject of friendship.
Yeah.
Very informative. Very informative. All right, then. All of you, we will be having Sister Andrea next week. I'm excited because, see,
amen.
I've been on in a little while, so I'm excited. And you guys all have a good and blessed week. And God bless you and have a good evening.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.